Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. We took our yearly week off last week. We actually recorded a podcast last week and didn't manage to release it due to some snafus in the processing.
Yeah.
But we will come back. You will get a double dose of haikus, but only a single dose of analysis, just so it's not too long. We might go quickly over the analysis over the teams that we missed. And that's pretty much it. James, how are you feeling about football these days? We're almost halfway through.
I know, it's feeling pretty weird. I have to admit, I feel like I say this every year, but this year I really mean it. I also say that every year. This is a weird year for football. It's all weird.
Yeah, it's been a little weird. I think there's been some big surprises, notable surprises, I think, this year in terms of certain teams that I think everyone thought was going to be good that weren't, or the other way around. And just your normal thing. But that's why we love it, right? We love it for the randomness, I think.
Yeah.
If you don't want randomness, you just go and you watch your baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever the equivalent. Actually, let's do this really quickly. What would the equivalent thing be to defensive fantasy football for baseball? Oh. What's the, like, weird, obscure part of baseball that no one... That there are stats for, but that no one really is paying attention to?
Gee, that's... I have three possibilities for this, right? Possibility number one, it's the pitchers only defense, pitchers only fantasy league, okay, right? Where all you do is track like field independent pitching, strikeout walk ratios. You would compare their BABIPs to league averages, okay, and you can measure their percentage of like bad contact induced.
Okay.
Basically. Sure. There's some good peripherals there. You could just, the obvious analog is the defense. There are some defensive stats out there. Most people agree that none of them are very good.
Okay.
There's like user ratings and, you know, there are defensive war ratings and they're calculated in different ways depending on who's doing the calculations. And you can do fielding percentages and you can do, you know, error rates and fielding opportunities based on, like, the average range of players in their positions. Or, if you want to get really sort of esoteric on this, we could do managers, right? It's a weird thing.
Okay.
So, the great thing about this is that we don't know how managers impact the sport. We have a lot of things that we can measure about managers. Like, we can measure how long they leave their starters in, how often they use pinch hitters, how often they call for sacrifice bunts, how often they call for stolen bases, like how often they employ defensive shifts, and how many pitchers they keep in their bullpen versus position players on the bench, right? So we could do a bunch of these weird esoteric things. Baseball's a great sport for esoteric things, is basically what I'm saying.
Alright, so maybe next year. In effect, maybe every week we'll start with one of these. We'll think about the hockey one where we only track like percent completion for passes.
Yeah.
And the basketball one. Where rather than assists, it's like the passes to set up the assist. Well, like second level assists.
Yeah. That's a thing you can track in hockey too.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, well, so now we've got the whole year covered.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get back to this year in a moment here. All right, James, all kinds of background noise today. We've got two teams each to do.
It's true.
We've never had two teams each to do.
That's true. There's a chance we may not make it through this.
Let's just do last week. So last week, the game we chose was Jacksonville-Indianapolis, I'm pretty sure. No. Tampa Bay. No. Nope. Whatever team
one
you
more
chose.
Try. Texans.
Texans. Yeah. That makes sense. Tampa Bay is not even in the right division.
Yeah,
so.
No.
That one was a really bad guess. Jacksonville versus the Texans. And now, of course, we know what happened there, but I think our haikus are both still relevant in that particular game. And I believe that last week you went first. So why don't you just go ahead and go first, do the haiku, give the briefest overview of the Texans for us.
All right. Here we go. The Houston Texans. The pieces are there. Watt may be merely human, but patience is key. this is to say that the Texans basically have a pretty sound defensive unit. Their problems this season have a lot more to do with the fact that they can't decide which backup quarterback to start in their offense, or to even leave in the game at any given point in time. But J.J. Watt is having a merely superstar year instead of a, yeah, like, robotic, uber-human year. But it's a sound defensive unit again. They're just... You can't win a game without scoring points.
It's definitely hard.
Defense can only score so many points for you. Yeah.
And, well, if I recall from our discussion on them, their fantasy options aren't even that great.
It's
right?
true.
I mean, J.J. Watt is obviously probably still the best. I think we're still in on that, but... I'm in on him as the number one overall player for fantasy. But, like, after that, there really wasn't much we had to recommend, to be honest. I mean...
As far as the players go, they're sort of suffering from the, like, the, you know, the soundness of their defense means that no one really stands out that isn't J.J. Watt. Like, the highest-scoring linebacker they have is Brian Cushing. I wouldn't even see... You know, I don't even think he's their best linebacker, but...
Oh, I think he's their best linebacker, but... It doesn't seem to be resulting in particularly the points you need to really start him every week.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like he's not getting good tackle numbers. He's just, it's just, you know, he's too, everyone's too sound. Yep.
And their cornerbacks haven't been good, at least for fantasy. They've been okay in the real world, but not good for fantasy, and it's just tough.
Yeah.
All right. That's the very, very fastest overview there. Sure. Here's the very fastest overview for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars. Lowest secondary score? There are two linebackers, which is to say that in the Jacksonville Jaguars, there are no secondary players that we can confidently recommend playing.
That is correct.
It's kind of sad, because I think that Cyprian, at least in the past, we would have recommended, but this year, the numbers have not been there, and they have been reliably not there.
Yes.
So, you know, I think he could still get it together if you're looking at a dart throw there, but pretty much you just want Telvin Smith and Paul Posluszny. And that's it for the Jacksonville. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I guess that means that this week I go first.
That seems reasonable.
With another team, that's even easier. And it's good that I get to do twice in a row. You
right.
ready?
You want the,
there's a reason why.
Okay.
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 Somehow, this week, and it's amazing this is the first time this has happened. Somehow we both did Minnesota.
It took us 6 weeks. 7 weeks.
7 weeks to both do the same team.
Yeah.
I will have one for Detroit as well, but I want to do mine for Minnesota, and I want to do it right after Jacksonville. And let me tell you why. Because here is my one for Minnesota. Fastest correction. Remember I said Jags sucked? That should be Jags.
Yeah.
Jags sucked?
Yeah.
Somehow, Min is worse.
Ooh. Ooh, harsh.
All right, what's yours?
Okay, mine was a little more hopeful than that. A solid bulwark, built out from young linebackers. Second fewest points allowed. No, hold on. That wasn't the last line. That was a note that I had. Let me try that one more time.
You know what?
You know what, though? That is now syllables. My second line. That is now my last line.
You might have to stick with it. I mean, that was the perfect number of syllables. What are the chances?
That's obviously the universe telling me that's what I should have written.
So, I will say, so mine seemed pretty dour, but I gotta tell you, for fantasy purposes, this team is terrible.
For fantasy purposes, I agree. This team is terrible.
It's almost unbelievable. So I went through, because... You know, the numbers that we're looking at, because they've already had their bye, their position ranks look pretty bad.
Right.
I went through and adjusted their position ranks for their top players for byes.
Uh-huh.
Harrison Smith comes in 22nd among safeties.
That's
and Anthony
strange.
Barr comes in 30th among linebackers. And none of their cornerbacks are in the top 50, somehow.
Wow!
It seems like... I don't know, it seems impossible. Like, how?
I don't know, I look at Harrison Smith's scores, and barring last week against Kansas City, he's, like, reliably scoring, you know, above average safety numbers in our format.
And 22nd isn't terrible.
No.
And I still think he'll get it together a little more.
I think he's definitely...
Harrison Smith, I'm still in on. And to be honest, I'm still in on Anthony Barr.
He was so good last year, there's almost no way that...
Yeah, I think he's had, you know, if you look at it, he's had two down weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and the other weeks he's been really good. Usually we prefer players who are more reliable, but I still think he gets there.
I think
just,
so, too.
Just to be, from my look at it.
Yeah.
What's strangest about this, though, is that this team's pretty good.
Yeah.
And this defense is pretty good.
Yeah. I think it's another, sort of conveniently, for this particular podcast, that it's sort of another example of a unit that is good in the real world that doesn't translate to fantasy because of, you know, sort of mm-hmm. an even distribution of talent, right? Like, there's nobody out there who has to be the playmaker, because the defense, that can come from almost anywhere, right? It can be anybody on any given Sunday, right? I mean, Harrison Smith has games where he goes nuts and games where, yep. you know, he gets, you know, sacks and interceptions and forces fumbles. And Anthony Barr has games where he tackles 12 guys and catches an interception. And it's like, well, okay, but he doesn't do it every week. And Harrison Smith doesn't do it every week. And everybody, I mean, even Everson Griffin, their defensive end, is like a guy who's got plenty of talent and who, you know, puts up a decent number of, I mean, he gets sacks, he puts up a decent number of tackles,
mm-hmm.
but he's not like a Sheldon Richardson from last year. He's not blowing everybody up on every play. Like, it's a combination of a bunch of above average players coming together and playing good, solid defense that's allowed them to, you know, let up the second fewest points in football this year.
Yeah, yeah. It's just weird to have done it with so few fantasy points. Like, with Jacksonville, we had this same situation where we said there aren't a lot of players you can really start, but they weren't second fewest in points allowed. Like, it's,
that's true.
It's They're, really yeah. strange.
I did notice, when I was going through stuff on the Vikings, they have their defense has played the fewest drives in football.
Now, and of course, they've had a bye, so that hurts.
They've had a bye, so that hurts
that
number.
Even if you adjust it, it looks like that's going to be, they're barely above 10 per game.
Yeah, they're not, their offense is eating up large chunks of time.
Hmm.
And their defense isn't playing much.
So it's the Adrian Peterson effect.
It's the Adrian Peterson effect, yeah, exactly. Because AP is sitting there on the offense being Adrian Peterson and doing all kinds of Adrian Peterson-y things, The defense gets to play, you know, less and be better when it does play. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't translate to fantasy points in any real way. It's a real shame, too, because there's a lot of good talent on this team.
I wonder if their home field scorer doesn't give enough sacks, too, or tackles,
tackles.
Too.
Tackles.
Because we know that's a thing. We know that some scorers give more tackles than others, and I wonder if that's part of it, because even with that number of drives, they should have a linebacker in the top 20.
Yeah,
thing.
And it's crazy that they don't. It's just absolutely crazy. Especially Eric Kendricks, who's got 2 sacks and, you know, 25-ish tackles on the season. He just, still, you know, being outscored by Anthony Barr in our fantasy scoring. It's just weird. Yep. It's just weird.
All right, anything else there?
No, just more weird. It's all just weird.
Okay. We're joined in the studio for our next one by our cat, who is a fan. This particular cat is a fan of the Detroit Lions, which is not the best thing to be this year, but,
no.
You know, we had a cat before. It was an all-black cat, fan of the Panthers.
Yep.
This cat's a lighter color, therefore he's got to be a Lions fan, and it's
true.
Been a tough year.
Definitely,
but
definitely a tough year.
He's in the studio, causing us trouble, because he wanted to hear this, and I think this is a first for us. Let me know if it's not, but this is an ode.
Oh,
you know,
I like
it's still a haiku, but it's really an ode to a single transcendent player.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Get Ziggy with it. No competition for sacks. Legend of the Docks.
Oh my God, that was
that
so
last
good.
One, that last one, of course, is a reference to The Wire. If you, for those of you who don't recall Ziggy on the Docks, go back and watch The Wire.
It's totally worth it.
So, Ziggy Ansah is great.
He is amazing.
Yes, some will say his last 2 games he was bad. And that's
not
fair.
Really
it's not,
true,
it's
but
it's not really true. From a stats perspective, it's true.
Yeah.
From a play perspective, he was in there just as much as he's ever been.
Yeah.
And without Ndamukong Suh there and without Fairley, he's eating up a lot of the sacks for this team, and it's great. And he's got, you know, he's doing very well in terms of fantasy, and I think he's a locked-in, every-week starter, no question.
Absolutely.
Asked. What's interesting about this team is they actually have quite a few people that I think are kind of locked-in starters.
I think so, too.
I don't know, I guess the reason for this, maybe this is our classic bad teams that get run on a lot or whatever. You know, they're getting enough plays that I think that there's a lot of players here that you can start kind of reliably. Both safeties, if they're healthy, Ahedebo and Glover Quinn, are both players that I like a lot from a skills perspective.
They're both really good.
Yeah, in fact, Glover Quinn, when he went to Detroit, I really think he's what turned that defense around whenever it was that he moved from the Texans to Detroit. And, you know, I think he's going to be pretty reliable. He's not maybe as good as his 11th position rank says. Obviously, there's buys contributing to that, and he had a crazy first week. But I still think he's startable. And, you know, at some level, you do want those players who can get you that crazy week, right? As much as we preach consistency, it's good to have a player who has that capability there.
Right.
But both of those players, I think, are totally useful. For our theory that it's bad defense thing, the linebackers really don't do a ton.
It's true.
You know, Stephen Tulloch is obviously your best option there, but he's not really exciting you, probably. But I think, you know,
better than any linebacker on Minnesota.
Better than any linebacker on Minnesota, that is true. Although I would still play Anthony Barr. Personally, I would have Anthony Barr ranked ahead of Stephen Tulloch. But yeah, I just think that there's talent here. I think that there's opportunity because opposing teams are still kind of moving the ball on them. This actual NFL team is really, really bad. Like, really, really bad. Yeah, James just looked it up.
Yeah, they're the fourth most
drives against. So that's a lot of plays, right? It's it's a decent number, although the plays against is actually fewer. But but that's because their offense can't stay on the field.
Yeah,
that's why there's so many drives against them. Even so, you know, you're getting enough opportunities that I think there's a lot of kind of worthwhile starters here. But obviously, first and foremost, Ziggy Ansah for me is a top 10 defensive end. Unless he gets injured, basically. I think he's going to be locked in for years to come.
Absolutely.
And you can finally, you know, he's perfect to build your team around for a name and all that stuff. So I think that's a good strong option.
Absolutely.
Anything else there?
No, I feel...
Yeah, I will say the one player I'm kind of disappointed in, I can't recommend, basically, is Haloti Ngata. I really thought he would have numbers there too, but it's all going to Ziggy Ansah.
Yeah.
And a little bit, you know... I think it's easier to start a player like Jason Jones than Haloti Ngata right now.
Definitely.
Different positions, but they're both on the defensive line. And just from how they've looked to me, it just looks more likely that they get the sacks. It is also worth mentioning, and James has brought to my attention, that at some point, if you can get DeAndre Levy, and if we ever get information about what's going on with his hip...
Yeah.
I think once he gets back, assuming he comes back healthy at some point... I think he will be well worth playing.
Definitely.
But at this point, that injury has been too mysterious for my liking.
It's really kind of frightening. But he was so good last year.
He was. If you have space to stash him, if someone dropped him and you have space to stash him, I would do it. But, I mean, you can't... I don't think... He's a player that I don't think you can start until you see him finish a game.
Yeah.
Until you see him play a whole game.
That's a good level of caution.
You know, that's just how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all?
Yeah.
Very good. James.
Alan.
Let's do some pickups real quick. Not as much time as maybe normal. Just
quick ups,
we had our
you
double
might
thing.
Call
quick,
them?
Yeah, I wouldn't, but you might.
Okay. Might.
let me just get started with the number one pickup of the week, he's available in your league. And I think he might be in some of your leagues. In some of your leagues, people may have given up, and they may have not been willing to wait for Cameron Wake.
Oh, man.
Cameron Wake. And I wouldn't blame him. If you're in a traditional IDP, or not a traditional, if you're in an IDP league that a lot of these are, where they just throw a defensive lineman on, you know, or where it's offense and defense, and you don't have that many bench slots for defensive players.
Yeah.
You would be totally reasonable to have dropped Cameron Wake as he went, put up 0 points every week or whatever. I think he had like half a point as of week three
or
something
like
that. And I should look that up. But the point is, it would have been totally reasonable to drop Cameron Wake. However, I liked what I saw with him coming back last week.
Four sacks.
Yeah.
Four sacks.
To be clear, he actually had 0.5 points all the way through until last week.
Yeah.
He literally came out of the bye with 0.5 points and then put up four sacks.
And you know, I mean, so Miami loses the first four games. They go into that bye week. They fire Joe Philbin.
Yep.
They bring in a new coach. Well, they bring in their tight end coach anyway. And yep. And you know, maybe it's not as crazy as it seemed like at the time to think that a tight end coach might actually be able to coach an entire rest of a football team, but mm-hmm. he made a difference.
He has. Something really has changed.
I think
they just kind of given up, and you know, he's also off a bye, and he was against Tennessee, that may be one of the worst teams.
Yeah.
But still, if someone dropped Cameron Wake, you know, not that he's going to get four sacks a week, although, man, that would be great. but not that he's going to get four sacks a week, but I think he's startable. At least if you're in a league where you're playing two defensive ends, I think he's comfortably startable next week.
Definitely.
Basically. And going forward, as long as he doesn't get injured again. He really didn't look right at the beginning of the year, so I think that's a good number one pickup for me this week, if he's available in your leagues.
Absolutely. I have to say that I was impressed by two cornerback performances this week that
okay.
made me a little bit intrigued. Nolan Carroll, second.
Yeah, Nolan Carroll was who I was going to recommend.
He looks good. You know, he's looked decent over the first half of the year, or yeah. over the first five games.
He's putting up reliable tackles.
And he looked really good last night. He was really reading, you know, his instincts were really good. He was jumping on routes. He looked like he was totally in the game. I would definitely, if you have any doubts about any of your cornerbacks, slot him in there.
Yeah.
That would be good.
I think that's reasonable. And you said you had another one. Is it Breshad Breeland?
It is Breshad Breeland.
Of course
you
it is.
Guess? Yeah. I'm sorry I ever doubted you, Breshad Breeland.
I know. You may recall that we actually said he was cut.
I did say he was cut. I am so sorry. I can't apologize enough. But, you know, it's as the season has gone on, I had no hope in the Washington professional football team at the beginning of the season in my red shirts. But I don't know, they've sucked me back in.
Yeah,
it's Breshad Breeland and a few other players' fault. They
yeah.
look so good.
Two interceptions in the last 2 weeks, and he gets to play against this week.
Oh my god, he gets to play against Jameis Winston.
He sure does.
Who might
not
be
like
the
that
worst
guarantees that he's
going to
get an interception. No, that's not true. He just might be the most interception prone quarterback
okay,
in all of football.
Okay, sure. That's more reasonable.
But that's what we care about here. I think he's a solid starter, at least for next week. Of course, then you have a bye the week after. Here's a quick little thing, right? It's easy to miss this. It's easy to forget it, at least on ESPN, which is where we play. It's really important which players have byes. You can
yes.
make trades with other teams for people that have had their bye, and you trade them someone that hasn't, and you basically get a free week.
Yeah.
And when you go to pick people up off the waiver, sort by average, not
yeah.
rank, because that's how you figure out who's actually been good. And if a player that has a lower points and a higher average goes up there, that's a good one to choose, just because you don't have to deal with the bye week again.
Right. Their bye week is gone, and you're in good shape now.
So there's your little... That's applicable to any league, but, you know, definitely applicable here. Linebacker pickups are probably few and far between at this point.
Yeah.
In most leagues, it's kind of difficult. These tend to go. You kind of have to look at what's available and just choose someone that you think is going to have good opportunities. I would think DeMeco Ryans of Philadelphia playing against Carolina, who does tend to run a lot, would be a good spot start.
Yeah.
I don't have, for this week, a linebacker that I think is like must pick up, like we felt about. Although, actually, I guess that didn't air, right? So Kevin Minter, if he's available,
right.
would be that player
there you go.
That we recommended last week. So if Kevin Minter is available, I think that's the one. But otherwise, if you're looking for a single week, I would go for, I think DeMeco Ryans is a pretty solid one for this week.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yep. And we, we're continuing to not make defensive tackle recommendations, so, you know, you're on your own for those. Just pick one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you don't have
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald, it doesn't matter.
I think
matter.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, anything else? Any pickups for you left?
Nah, that's
yeah.
it. Everything's starting to shake out.
Yep. Yep, and it gets really, you know, obviously as the year goes on, it's harder to find players that are really going to break out. But we'll keep looking for them, keep abreast of major injuries to see if someone has a chance to step up. But fortunately, haven't been too many, like, major middle linebacker injuries.
Yeah, I have to admit, we had Kiko Alonso still gone off to nowhere, and we had Sean Lee had a concussion last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I guess, that's a good one. So so Rolando McClain, who had been suspended.
That's right.
If you can get Rolando McClain, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I think that's a good option, so that's good. So you remembered one more.
There we go.
That'll do it, I think.
Do it for us.
Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. You can get their album everywhere you kind of expect to be able to get it. I think their tour is winding down now, so you might have missed your chance on that one. But they'll go on tour again, so give them the support, and they'll go on tour again.
Yeah, this time maybe to space.
Why not? I think, you know what, I think not, though. So, I mean, they had an international tour.
Oh, okay.
Right? I think they've still got to do an intercontinental tour.
Okay, right. Get to space yet.
Once they've done the intercontinental, that's, I think, when they can really look at space.
Okay, that sounds good.
James, hit of the week.
Hit of the week.
I mean, there's a pretty obvious one, I think. Which would be five Patriots players descending upon that horrible swinging gate play.
That should, yes, yeah. There's so many people to blame for that play.
It just was crazy.
What?
Yeah. I don't know. Whenever you see those guys just dive on him right away, like as soon as the ball was snapped, it was pretty brutal. For me, I think that's got to be the hit of the week. I think there were some other good ones hanging around, but one's the one that we're gonna remember.
Yeah,
you know, some of the hits of the week we give you, you're not gonna remember those going forward,
right?
But I'll tell you, nice this one. Moment. This one, I think, we'll remember for a long time.
The Colts are not going to be allowed to forget this for quite some time.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back next week. James claims that next week is going to be the point when we are run out of the ability to do two teams from the same division. I claim we've got a couple more weeks of that, so we're going to see you next week. From Alan.
And James.
Stay low.